The only way, in my estimation, that you can be glib and chipper and happy about the prospect of this current era going on and on, that this current era is limitless, or the possibility that it's limitless, is if you are living in relative comfort and you're basically essentially immune to the conglomerate suffering of people in this era. Of the war, of the rapes, of the death, of the torture, of the killing, of the misery. 100,000 people dying every day of cancer, of twisted bowels, of mental abuse, of terrorism, cancer. The world is... Paul calls it Galatians 1:4, the current wicked eon. This is the era we're living in. How much more of it do you want? Does anyone else have this disposition? Our friend Clyde Pilkington writes in his article, "The current era is limitless. Law spanned just over 1,500 years. If the law which caused sin to increase, keep that in mind, the law which caused sin to increase lasted some 15 centuries, does it not make divine sense that God would abound long past such a period? As if this era where grace happens to have been inaugurated because of the weight and propensity of the sin, does it not make divine sense, quote, that grace would abound long past such a period? Grace now stands at nearly 20 centuries. Is it nearly over?" My response to is it nearly over would be, I hope so. Because of the weight of suffering and agony and torment of parents losing children, of children being kidnapped, tortured, killed, people dying, teenagers dying in automobile accidents, drunk driving, people in prison, rotting away. Every day, the cemeteries become fuller and fuller. That is the thing that triggered this great manifestation of grace. And so, based on that information, does that mean that we want or hope that this era of grace will continue on? Because if it does, it is evidence that sin is increasing. As if, as I said yesterday, grace would necessarily stop when this era stops. I quote again, "Grace now stands at nearly 20 centuries." This is Clyde Pilkington writing this, which blows my mind. Is it nearly over? I would say, God, I hope so. This is not Clyde's answer. Quote, "Is grace about to cease by our appearing with Christ in glory, or has grace another 5 centuries? But you're forgetting, my friend, that if grace has another 5 centuries, then the increase of suffering and sin and death would have another 5 centuries. That the increase of terrorism and torture and disease and drugs and mutilation has another 5 or 10 centuries, or perhaps another 10 centuries to double the duration of law, or even well beyond that. Well beyond that. Just glibly hoping that this era of grace, well, maybe you happen to be basking in a swimming pool where the sun is shining and everything is going relatively well. How wonderful for you. And perhaps it thrills and titillates your heart to think that the manifestation of God's grace, which again thrives in a petri dish of sin, death, decay, mortality, agony, torture, disease, maybe it thrills your heart to think that it could go on and on and on. Let's double the duration of law. What kind of show will God make of this great attribute of His?" End quote. Ah, yes, it's a great attribute, but it is in the eons to come that he will show the transcendent riches of his grace, as I said. Let's look at Paul's phrase, the current era. The article of Clyde Pilkington is called "The Current Era is Limitless," and he seems to be happy by the prospect that it could go on and on and on and on and on, and that death would increase. I mean, this is by extension. He doesn't say this, but what do you suppose? What else is it going to be? Nobody in their right mind, excuse me, would be thrilled or happy at the prospect of this current era, the era in which we live, would be protracted. Well, it just gives more opportunity for people to come to Jesus. Yeah, how many people are coming to Jesus now? The apostasy is full-blown, and it's not going to get any better. The apostasy, that is people turning away from Christ, Paul predicted that perilous periods will be present. In the end, he said, here is a list of the characteristics of the current era. 2 Timothy Chapter 3. Now, this know that in the last days, perilous periods will be present. Tell me if any of you hope that this goes on, what I'm about to read, for another 10,000 years. Tell me. Humans will be selfish, fond of money. Now, they've always been this way, but it's going to be worse. Don't you see that? Martin, it's always been this way. People have always been this way. It's on a crash course since Paul wrote 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a prophetic passage of Scripture. Paul's an apostle. He's also a prophet here. And he's telling how it's going to be in the last days. And if you have it in your heart that you want to see what I'm about to read to you extended into the limitless future, then you must have it pretty damn good compared to the rest of the world. Know this, that in the last days, perilous periods will be present. Humans will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn to parents, ungrateful, malign, without natural affection, implacable, adversaries, uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitorous, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification. I'm not done yet, but wait a minute. Grace does thrive in this cauldron of shit, turmoil, death, pain, rebellion, disobedience, disease. It does. But we've already long established how great God's grace is. At the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's grace. Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus Christ lavishes him with grace and salvation. Yeah, we got the memo. We got the memo. To hope that God can demonstrate his grace in this administration of utter misery is sick. At worst, at best, it's misguided. Uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitorous, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, having a form of devoutness, denying the power. Let's look into what Paul said concerning this current era, which I think our friend Clyde Pilkington deep down hopes keeps going on, because isn't it wonderful? No, it's terrible. And anyone who has any empathy at all for the rest of the world will want it to end today, and will have a heart for deliverance, not an extension. Are we now living in a different era than what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when he says the era is limited? You should be rejoicing. The era is limited, thank God. You should not be writing an article trying to disprove Paul, or to, by dubious means, try to prove that the era of which Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7 is a different era than today, when, in fact, the era today is worse than the era in which Paul lived. And we just read a prophetic portion of Paul's writing from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days which we're in, unless you're blind and you don't realize that, deaf, dumb, and blind, perilous periods will be present. Perilous. Oh, yeah. I'll take a double dose of that, please, with a side order of war, cancer, mutilation, slavery, terrorism, fear, pain, misery, and death. Paul calls this, in Galatians 1, verse 4, the current wicked eon. Get that. This is the current wicked eon. Oh, I do hope that Christ will delay his coming so that we might have... Oh, wouldn't it be special? Wouldn't it be amazing if God... If we had 5,000 more years of this, 500, 1,000, 5,000, the longer the better, because then God can display more of his grace. I, with Paul, would prefer that God display the grace he's already shown us in the first century. I prefer that he display it in another way, as he promises he will do in Ephesians 2:7. Are we living in a different era than what Paul describes? Another way to ask the question would be, is the fashion of this world no longer passing by? Is it now to be considered permanent or, God forbid, limitless? Let's look at other uses of the word era, the current era. And remember, I'm putting my words against Clyde Pilkington's words. I'm putting Paul's words against Clyde Pilkington's words. Paul says the era is limited. Clyde says the current era, adds that in, is limitless. I say it's limited. I say we're to expect to get out of here. I say our trials will go on as long as necessary, but if we're in tune at all with the nature of this eon and this era, it's a wicked eon, Galatians 1:4. If we're in tune at all with that, we will pray continuously for the end of it, for the deliverance. Israel prayed to get out of Egypt. Legitimately, they prayed, Lord, deliver us from Egypt. The saints of the Old Testament in Israel prayed for the coming of the Messiah. Why? Because they wanted deliverance. The people in Babylon prayed to get out of Babylon because they wanted deliverance. Nobody wants more of bondage, more of slavery. Nobody. Well, some people do. Some people do. Because apparently, things are going fairly well for them, and they just want more of the same. Unbelievable. Jesus Christ himself prayed to get out of the crucifixion situation. Mm-hmm. That is the epitome of a wicked eon. We are currently living in the eon that crucified the Lord of glory. How do you like that for an eon? This is one scary, badass eon. And I'm a normal human being in that I want it to stop. I want out of it. I'm not going to cut corners, though. If I pray to get out of it, I'm going to say, like Jesus Christ did, but Lord, thy will, not mine, be done. However, you know, I want out of here. Let's get the hell out of here, but thy will, not mine, be done. Except I would not use King James language. This is not a time for jokes. Romans 8:18, quote, for Paul, for I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era, the era that Clyde says is limited, the sufferings of the current era, sufferings, that's the characteristic of them, sufferings. I've mentioned a lot of words today, death, pain, torture. It can all be lumped in under the catch-all phrase, sufferings. The sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. That's good news. It's about to be. If somebody's out telling you that it's 10,000 years away, that's shit news. That's not good news, especially when they have no evidence for it. If they have scriptural evidence that it's 500 years away, then give it to us. We'll deal with it. But if you're pulling it out of your ass, then leave it home. Leave it at home. Because apparently you have no sympathy or empathy for the rest of the world, for the weight of what's happening in this current era. It's an era of suffering, and Paul says that the era about to be revealed, the glory about to be revealed for us, about to be, is not worthy to be compared to the sufferings of the current era. Romans 13:11, this also do, being aware of the era. I gave this verse to you yesterday. I implore you all to be aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. Wake up. The world is a shithole. Wake up. I know it's of God. I know. Martin, why do you complain? You know it's of God. I know it's of God. Jesus knew that the crucifixion was of God, yet he prays to get out of it because he's normal. The following two passages are, is already the hour for us to be roused out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The following two passages are especially important because they occur in Paul's prison epistles, his latter epistles. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be observing accurately then, brethren, how you are walking, not as unwise, but as wise, reclaiming the era, for the days are wicked. Reclaiming the era. Get what you can out of this, but don't put your eggs in this basket. Don't put your chips on this square. For the days are wicked. Now, Paul is writing this in Ephesians, the epitome, the greatest letter he ever wrote, where he's lavishing us with all grace, and he says the days are wicked. The days are wicked. I'm not denying that in wicked days it's a great place for grace to show, but enough's enough. We've been there, done that. And now we strain. Paul says, I'm pressed out of the two choices of either living or dying. Talked about that verse a couple weeks ago. To live is profit for the work. To die, I become a martyr and the work goes out even more. But I'm being pressed out of these two choices. My ultimate longing is to be together with the Lord. And it's not just a selfish wish. I told you that we are to look for personal glory because God promised us. To whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. These he glorifies. He's going to glorify you. But it's beyond what we want for ourselves. We are, for one thing, part of a body, the body of Christ. And as members of the same body, we suffer together. When one of us is hurting, the rest of us are hurting. So I can't seem to have a really good day because I'm afflicted by the weight of the suffering of you, the members of the body of Christ, and by extension, the rest of the world. Colossians 4:5, a prison epistle. In wisdom, be walking toward those outside, reclaiming the era. It's this idea where you're not living for the era. You're reclaiming it. You're like taking what you can out of it to survive, and then you're leaning away from it towards something greater, toward Christ. I got a great email along this line. I'm going to share part of it with you. Someone thanked me for speaking forcefully on this topic. Thank you for speaking so forcefully on this topic. How can anyone look at this world and not be looking for the soon return of Christ Jesus and hoping the Lord comes quickly? Only someone who lives in relative comfort, as we do, could possibly contemplate, promote, or relish this era being limitless. Any compassionate person can look around and feel the pain of watching people die of starvation. In different parts of the world, my heart aches for these people who live in such painful circumstances. My heart aches for thousands of children who die every year at the hands of their parents or perverts. This world is full of fear, sadness, and hopelessness, but we are quite comfortable, aren't we? Truly, the fashion of the day is not so good for everyone that we could look forward with any optimism or hope for improvement. I am sad to say that some people who would promote the limitlessness of this era sound more and more like Joel Osteen, end quote. No, that's not an end quote. There's one more paragraph. I want to read that for you. I am not a negative person. I am positive. And I would say that about myself. And I positively, quoting again the letter, can't wait for the snatching away. God gave us Ecclesiastes for a reason. It keeps our eyes on God and not on humanity. No, I don't sit around glumly. I'm fun to be with, but my heart is heavy, and I feel more than ever that time is short, unquote. My heart is heavy. Yeah, that's a good place to end here. As I sweat buckets here in South Florida. But it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter where you are. What matters is where we're going. And what matters is that we are straining against this bondage of corruption. We're straining righteously and rightly against the tyranny of decay, the tyranny of death that is operating now in the sons of disobedience, who are freaking everywhere. If you haven't noticed, tons of people aren't coming to Jesus Christ. If you haven't noticed, I'm getting the relatively same amount of views on these videos as I have from the beginning 2.5 years ago. As you may have noticed, there's no avalanche of people benefiting from this glorious era of grace. It's true that another minute of this hellhole would probably give another minute for somebody to come to Christ. We don't know what that number is. We don't know how many people there are in the body of Christ. There is a finite number of people in the body of Christ. However, since we don't know it, and since we could either pray for one thing or the other, Lord, extend this beautiful era of suffering, or Lord, get us the hell out of here, bring the last member into the body of Christ. This is a human desire. It's a human need. It's a human expression of something God put in our hearts that He apparently also put in the heart of the Apostle Paul to stretch ahead, stretch toward Christ, to be with Christ, to be with the Lord. In order for that to happen, this current wicked eon has to end. In order for that to happen, this era, the current era, which is defined by the term suffering, has to end. And it's true that when this era ends, it's going to end with a terrible cataclysm. It's going to end with the day of indignation, but that will be the final throw of the pain of humanity, of the pain of human rule, the final throw, the death throw. And from that point on, it's going to be Jesus Christ all the way. Don't you want that? Man, I want it, and I pray for it today.